The book of Titus, chapter 1. Paul, a bondservant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth which accords with godliness, in hope of eternal life which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began, but has in due time manifested his word through preaching, which was committed to me according to the commandments of our God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. To Titus, a true son in our common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. For this reason I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking and appoint elders in every city as I commanded to you. If a man is blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of dissipation. Another word for dissipation is debauchery, dissipation or insubordination. For a bishop must be blameless, as a steward of God, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, nor greedy for money, but hospitable, a lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled, just like every Christian should be, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those who contradict. For there are many insubordinate, both idle talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, whose mouth must be stopped, who subvert whole households, teaching things which they ought not, for the sake of dishonest gain. One of them, a prophet of their own, said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy and gluttons. This testimony is true. Therefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men who turn from the truth. To the pure all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving nothing is pure. But even their mind and conscience are defiled. They profess to know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, the holy word of God, that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in the faith, in love, in patience. The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. And that's how Christians are supposed to be living. Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded, in all things showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that the one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. See, and there's many people that have evil things to say about the Christian church. Why? Because we have become gluttons, lazy, and fat. You know, the physical is connected to the spiritual, whether we believe that or not, whether we see that or not. When we're fat and lazy in the physical flesh, you know, eating things that doesn't give us any energy or power or strength, but it makes us sleepy and lazy and obese. Therefore, you will be that way spiritually as well. Whatever you are physically, you will be spiritually. Why? Because they are both connected. But when you're physically fit, alert, sober-minded, ready, physically, you will be that spiritually as well. Amen. Because the physical and the spiritual are connected more than we like to admit. But we have to admit it. Because if we don't, then we're going to miss out. We're going to lose out. When we're lazy from walking the holy ways of the Bible, or even to read the Bible, to know what God's ways are, We're too lazy to do that. The world sees that. And because of our conduct of laziness and unholiness and unrighteousness, therefore they speak evil about our God, whom we claim to believe and serve and know and walk with. We got to live right and holy and pleasing to God. We got to be healthy. You know, in fact, we got to live better than everyone on the face of the earth. And that, why? Because that's God's righteous standards, physical and spiritual. You know, God gave us the law for a reason. It doesn't deal too much with salvation except for the sacrificial laws. And to fear God, you know, which we are supposed to still be walking and living today. But we're talking about health laws. Health laws. God gave us his health laws to be the most healthiest people on the face of the earth. To be an example of what Christianity is. Not to be powerfully healthy on the inside spiritually, but physically fit on the outside. Why? Because the two are connected. Amen. God wants us to be empowered physically with strength, right? With energy to walk with him daily. Amen. Because it takes physical strength to walk with him daily, to do what he's called us to do, to be under that anointing. Amen. And he won't give his anointing to dirty vessels, and he won't give his anointing to lazy gluttons either. Amen. People who won't do anything for God, he's not going to give his anointing to the lazy. If you're lazy from reading the Word of God, he's not going to give you nothing at all, because you're double-minded. Choose thee this day whom you're going to serve, and serve him with all your heart. Amen. And that's what he's saying here. Live in such a way, healthy and powerful in faith. Amen? Powerful in faith. How do we get powerful faith? We don't just go into prayer for 5 minutes and ask God for faith. Raise up our faith. Raise up our faith. Raise up our faith every day for 5 minutes a day. No. How do we get faith? Okay? Faith is not an automatic deal. You know, Jesus had taught, hallelujah, that faith is progressive, just like our walk with Jesus Christ is also progressive. You can't remain the same forever. You can't remain a tree that bears no fruit for the kingdom of God forever. And this is how he says it, that faith is progressive. Our walk with Jesus Christ is progressive. Amen? In Matthew, hallelujah. I want to say Matthew chapter 13. Starting in verse 31, this is what Jesus says. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all the seeds, which means it's the smallest seed, but when it grows, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. Meaning that this little tiny mustard seed that grows into this big giant tree, meaning big faith, has a purpose. Has a purpose. Every seed that God plants and grows has a purpose in him. Amen? You can't remain the same. You notice, it started out as a tiny mustard seed, and it grew into a giant tree. That's how faith is to be. And how do we get that kind of faith? Reading his word daily, being obedient to God in every way. That's how we get faith, growing faith, daily, daily. That's why we read the word of God. Amen? Because it's like the saying goes. When you feed your faith, this is what Lester Sumrall says. When you feed your faith, doubts and fears have to starve and die. How do we feed our faith? By the word of God. Doing what it says. Being convinced that God cannot lie and live his ways. Be healthy, both physically and spiritually, and do the will of God. Do the will of God. Stand up. And fight the good fight of faith, not only in you, But against the ebbs and flow of society that is going more and more increasingly abominable day by day. This is what he says in verse 33. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till it was all leavened. Went from flat dough to risen dough. To flat faith, no faith, to risen faith. You can't remain the same forever. And shame on us when we remain the same as we did, you know, when we first got saved, knowing nothing at all. Shame on us. The world sees that we're not really living for God. We're too lazy to do that. We're too lazy to read the Word of God. We're too lazy to pray in the Holy Spirit for 1 hour. And so therefore, they speak evil. The world speaks evil against us. We need to repent and turn back to the living God and live according to His ways and standards strictly. Because holiness is what's going to get us into the kingdom of heaven, coupled with the faith in Jesus Christ. If you believe that Jesus is the Messiah, you would live like Him. Amen. If you believe that Jesus is holy and the Messiah, that is Lord of your life, then guess what? You would live just like Jesus had lived on this earth. Amen. If you truly believe, faith plus action proves your belief that Jesus is Lord. Amen. So going back to Titus chapter 2 verse 7 says, in all things showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility. See, we're supposed to live better than everyone else. We're supposed to live better than a pastor who gossips and slanders on the pulpit. In fact, come out from among them, because they're evil, and they'll corrupt you to be just like them. Just like the Pharisees went far and wide to win one convert to make them more of a son of hell than they are. We're supposed to live like Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. According to 1 John chapter 2. Starting in verse 1 says, my little children, these things I write to you, so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. That means when we mess up. When we mess up. But we have to acknowledge that we're in sin. That we're lazy. That we're complacent. That we're proud within ourselves. You know, if you don't want to submit unto God, you're proud. You're proud. And God hates pride, evil behavior, and perverse speech, and arrogance. Arrogance will not allow you to acknowledge your sins before God. That means you're far from the Lord. So when we mess up like that, Jesus gives us a way out. It's called repentance. Not just confession, but repentance. Turning from those things and doing what is right in the sight of God. That is, first off, reading the Word of God. Getting back into the Word of God like never before. Feeding your faith so that your fears and your doubts will starve and die. And you start living the Word of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Honoring God as the Lord of your life. Just like you claimed Him to be from the beginning. Hallelujah. He gives us a way out. It's called repentance. Meaning to turn, to run from evil. To run away from evil. And do what the Word of God says. And He Himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also the whole world who believes that Jesus is Lord. Now by this we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. What is one of His commandments? Abide in me. Abide in my word. In John chapter 15. Abide in me. Abide in my word. That's one of His commandments. If you love me, you would keep my commandments. John chapter 14, verse 15. If you love me, you would keep my commandments. Love is not just a feeling for one another. Oh, like, you know, God bless you, brother. God bless you, sister. You know, when you don't feel like saying God bless you, brother or sister. Love is showing people, drawing people from their sins by speaking the truth. Not pointing fingers, not judging, but telling people, like, you know, brother or sister, you know, I see this, you know, in you. And I encourage you to, you need to turn to God. Amen? Encouragement is another form of love of God. Amen. Encouraging one another, exhorting one another, lifting each other up. Amen. Hallelujah. Not tearing each other down, but showing each other's faults. Showing each other's faults, not in a judgmental way, but in an admonishing way. And you know what? We need to live holy and right before God. Amen. To be effective for the kingdom of God on this earth. Amen. That's love. That's also reflecting love. Jesus loved us as not to tell us the truth. Why can't we love our neighbor as ourselves? Why can't we love our brethren? By telling them the truth. He who says, I know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him, meaning he's not a Christian. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him, and by this we know that we are in him, the Lord Jesus Christ. He says he abides in him and ought himself also to walk just as he walked. If Jesus truly abides in you, you will walk just as he, the Lord Jesus Christ, had walked on this earth, holy and blameless, spotless, without corruption, without hypocrisy, but with law, love, and compassion, and mercy, and grace, and the power of God as well, the power of the Holy Spirit as well. In the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. It all is connected. It all is connected. And that's what it's telling us here. And all things showing yourself to be a pattern of good works and doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, you know, without hypocrisy. Sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say about you, or about our God, or about the church. Amen. Exhort bondservants to be obedient to their own masters, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back, not pilfering, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. What is it saying here? To be a living epistles of God. By doing what is right. And forsaking what is evil. Amen. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. We should. That should never be a suggestion. Denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, all ungodly entertainments. Live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. Looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. When was the last time you were zealous for God? When it was the last time you showed, you know, the world, the light that so shines in you of the blessed hope of salvation of Jesus Christ? When was the last time? And the reason why we don't, because it truly isn't in us. We haven't submitted unto God fully. We've only partially said, you know what, your will, but only to a point, because I still want to live for myself. It's God or nothing. Especially those who want to be used by God. Jesus Christ will only use the committed and nothing less. The Lord Jesus Christ will give his power to those who are obedient, who are faithful, who are godly, who wants to walk in his ways, who desires after him always, and nothing less. He wants those who truly desire him to cleanse us, to purify us with his holy fire, to take out self completely out of us and be fully filled with God the Holy Spirit, where there's nothing of ourselves but only God living in us. Hallelujah. Who is willing to lay down their life completely like that? To completely pick up Jesus' cross and follow him? To deny yourself, to pick up your cross, and to follow him? That's what he commands. That's what he so desires in us to be. And we can have that if we are truly born again in God, the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. It's in us. If you are a born-again child of God and he lives in us, guess what? He gives us the power to lay it all down at the altar of Jesus Christ and to never pick it up again. But you got to want it. You got to want it. Amen. You got to desire after him according to Psalms chapter 37. And commit your ways to the Lord. Hallelujah. To desire and to commit your ways unto God. Commit to his ways. Because it's all about a commitment to God. And he can use nothing less than that. 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting in verse 19, says, "Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal, the seal of the Holy Spirit. The Lord knows those who are his." Because everyone, according to 1 John, those who are born of God are his. Those who are born again in the Holy Spirit are God's. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you are not Jesus Christ. You're not a Christian. And that's what he's saying here. The Lord knows those who are his, who are born again in the Holy Spirit. "And let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity, all abominations, all sins, all corruption, and all hypocrisies. But in a great house there are only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, from sins, from all sins, everything that displeases God, he will be a vessel, he, us, will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, set apart, holy, and useful for the master, prepared for every good work." God prepares us to do great and mighty works for him. Amen. "Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snares of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will." See, we are called by God through the power of the Holy Spirit to set the captives free, according to Isaiah chapter 61. "The Lord has anointed me to preach the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, to set the captives free, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Amen. That's our calling, God. That's what Jesus calls us to do. But he won't give us that power and anointing without first being an honorable vessel, sanctified in order to be useful in the hands of God. Amen. That is requirements. Be committed to God completely. And if you don't want to be, don't call yourself a Christian then. Because you're not. Because that proves that you're not born again. With the power of the Holy Spirit. Denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. That's what true Christianity is. That's what true born-again Christians look like. Not lazy and gluttonous, drunkards who want to do their own will, who want salvation but by their own means, and not by the Lord Jesus Christ's way, because Jesus Christ is the only way, the truth, and the life. And there is no other way into heaven. There's no other way to God the Father. It's either his way or it's no way. Speak these things. Exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work. To be ready. to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another, which is not the way of Christianity that God has called us to. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, reviving us to be dead to sins and alive to Christ. That's what being born again means. That's what being born again means. But God does not give his Holy Spirit to people who do not fully repent, because he will not give his Holy Spirit to dirty vessels. And that's what Christianity looks like in action. Kindness and the love of God our Savior toward men, to be ready for every good work. That's what Christianity looks like, to be ready in season and out of season. You have to know God's word. You have to be trained up, hallelujah, on how to move by the Holy Spirit, by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, amen? Because you will do great and mighty things under the unction of the Holy Spirit, under the power of the Holy Spirit, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. That's what he's there for. Not just to teach us how to live holy and righteously and stay right with God, but to hear from him and his direction. Because you have to be right with God to hear him. Because sin separates us from God, amen? Too many of us are going out by our own desires of our own flesh of what we want to see done. So we go out and preach the word of God, and it hurts more people than it does help. Jesus says, I'll give you power to set the captives free, to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to cast out demons, to preach the gospel. It's all for him. To bring people to Jesus Christ. Amen. But he will not give us that kind of power if we're not living right for him, if we don't desire after him, if we don't submit ourselves under the mighty hand of God, humbly. Because it's all about him and nothing about us. We're just vessels, conduits, instrument of righteousness in his hands. Amen. Speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. Amen. Jesus says in John chapter 10, I'm sending you out in the midst of wolves, sheep amidst of wolves. Be gentle as doves, but as wise as serpents. That having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. To be careful to maintain good works. Do what the Word of God says, and nothing less. Do it with all your heart. Do it with all your might. Do it with all your strength, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. Choose thee this day whom you're going to serve, and serve him. Not half-heartedly, but full-heartedly. Because Jesus Christ died expecting nothing less. He gave his own life, so we will have life in him, and he expects nothing less. This is a faithful saying. And these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. If you believe in God, you will do works that pleases God. It keeps you in right standing with God. In order to impact the world in the name of Jesus Christ, you have to have a vertical relationship with God. Amen. So if you believe that Jesus is Lord of your life, make him Lord of your life by doing what is good, righteous, and holy according to God's standards, and do good works. Why? Again, James chapter 1 talks about not only hearing but doing. In James chapter 2, he talks about faith without works is dead. If you don't have faith in Jesus Christ, then you won't do anything that the Bible says. And I see it all the time. And there's not very many people with that kind of faith. They profess that Jesus is Lord, but they don't really believe it because they're not living it. They don't do anything for God. They're not reading the Word of God. They're not living it. And they're not living it because they don't know the Word of God, because they're not reading it. Why? Because they're too lazy. They think, oh, well, I feel saved. It's not about feeling. Because the only way to be saved is through faith in Jesus Christ. You cannot be justified by works alone, and you cannot be justified by faith alone, according to James chapter 2. It has to be two together, because faith without works is dead. Amen. So it says it right here, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men, but avoid foolish disputes, genealogies, contentions, and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and useless. Reject the divisive man after the first and second admonition, knowing that such a person is warped and sinning, being self-condemned. You know, and that's what Jesus had taught us. Hallelujah. Let's see here. If I can find it, Matthew chapter 18. He taught us there are ways about, you know, warning people, and if they don't heed the warnings, then treat them like an unbeliever. And this is how you deal with a lot of people in the church who are divisive, meaning they cause divisions and strifes. Because they're not born of God. They're not born again in God. So they're not Christians, right? And there are people that are in the church. They're not Christians, but they're just there. Yeah, I don't get why they would want to waste their time. You know, if they don't want God, there's better things to do than to go to the church. Because the Word of God will not be profitable for anyone who's not born of God. So I don't get how a lot of people just waste their time. But this is how you deal with problem people, okay, in the church. Matthew chapter 18, verse 15 says, moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. Surely I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosened in heaven. That's how you deal with an ungodly person in the church. There's avenues to go down, but every step, you give that person time to repent, and if they just don't. Right? If they don't listen to what you have to say according to God's word and according to the Holy Spirit's anointing, and when you know you're under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, you know, and you're being gentle and you're telling this guy, you know, we're seeing this, you know, you've sinned against us or whatever, you know, and if they will not listen, they're not born of God. Therefore, you take those initial steps, and if they still don't repent and turn to the living God through gentleness, and therefore, treat him like a heathen, like a tax collector, a sinner. And just like the Apostle Paul says, to throw him out of the church. Because they will corrupt you. They will corrupt the body. You don't allow Satan in to stay in your church. Because they'll get worse and worse and worse, and they'll drag other people down in the congregation as well. And so he's saying here, reject a divisive man after the first and second admonition, knowing that such a person is warped and sinning, being self-condemned. We're supposed to live right and holy unto God in every way. When we are established in the Holy Spirit like that, when we have committed completely our bodies, our soul, our minds, our hearts, everything, and give it all to Him, our worldly pleasures, and we lay it down at the altar of Jesus Christ, the Lord will use us mightily and powerfully, and the world will start to see the real, true Christianity. Amen. And that's what we're supposed to be. Letting our light so shine that it may be seen by men, so they may praise God, your heavenly Father, for your good works. And the root of it all is love. Amen. The love of Jesus Christ, first and foremost, which will shine through us, the love for people. Apostle Paul concludes, and let our people also learn to maintain good works to meet urgent needs. See, that's what true Christianity is. Meet urgent needs that they may not be unfruitful. Meaning, don't be lazy. Don't be lazy. All who are with me greet you. Greet those who love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. Amen.